670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
So instead of Divine Diablo, let's audible to Wes Drewham,
the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. Wes, let's start with our quarterback, Michael Penix. Everybody's talking about how poised he looked, how good he looked, how well he played, despite the fact that we come up short.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a really nice start for Michael. I think he did a lot of really good things. I thought he, you know, obviously before he pulled the Superman act at the goal line for the touchdown, right. But I thought he was decisive. I thought he did some really good things in terms of getting them in and getting them out of plays. And I didn't think they got caught, I think, one time by the play clock, maybe. That was it. And usually for me, guys, when you're kind of out there for the first time, your unforced errors are usually the first thing you noticed. And quite frankly, I didn't notice many of those. They had obviously the two false starts on Elijah in the second half. But outside of that, I thought it was a pretty clean game for week one. I know they want to run the ball better. I want them to run the ball better. We all want them to run the ball better. So it's really interesting the way this thing opens. And now, obviously, as you guys, I'm sure, have discussed, it puts premiums on these next three games before you get to that early bye week.
And, Wes, I know we believe in what we have with Michael Penix Jr. And, of course, Sunday night, the nation will get to see it. They got to see some of it last year against the Commanders. The two-minute drill, I mean, all the things, only missing, I think, a couple of throws off the top of my head. And also getting Pitts involved. Maybe try to get Pitts involved more in Minnesota, but I don't think there's anything more you could ask of Michael Penix under the circumstances of not really having a run support on Sunday.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, I totally agree, Mike. I think it was, look, they're going to try and run the ball. They just got to find a way. And we knew that going into the season. I love the way they got the ball to Bijan in the pass game, though. I really did. I thought that they put some really good stuff in play. Obviously, the first play on the third snap blew the roof off the place. But other than that, I think they found a way to put the ball in the best player's hands, right? And, look, I think you're right about Kyle. Seven catches is good. You want to see maybe a few more yards out of that and maybe one in the end zone. And then, you know, on the other side of the ball, they did a really nice job on a crowd that was pretty explosive last year. So I think, yeah, and I say this about the college game, and I'm trying to convince college people, you'll like this, Carl. I'm trying to convince college people that when you lose your first game, all's not lost anymore with the 12-team playoff, right?
It's true, yeah.
And I know as disappointing as Sunday was, all is still not lost. You can still win the division, achieve like that, which I think is obviously what this crowd's after for sure.
Yeah, I agree. When Ra was in here, I said these are chapters, and that's the first one, right? I'm reading. I'm getting to the second chapter. We're going to see Sunday night, hopefully that reads a lot better and keeps me engaged and, you know, it becomes a better story. But I'm with you 200%. It's Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. Wes, what do you make of the kicking situation? You've seen a lot of kickers in your time. These things happen, but for the Falcons to bring in some competition – Mike and I think it's a good thing. We just don't know where this is going to go.
Well, it's going to go to who determines who's going to be the kickers, where it's going. I mean, last year we thought it might be a blip. And look, if you go back, and I think Mike said this on the air with Andy and Randy earlier in the week, when you go back to what this has now become, you got to do something. You can't be in a situation where this is not a reliable piece of the program. And, you know, Youngway Coos made a lot of great kicks. Matt Bryant made a lot of great kicks. Morton Anderson made a lot of great kicks. Nick Mickemeyer made a lot of great kicks.
Yeah.
Uwe Von
Schaumann.
Yeah, Uwe Von Schaumann, Garrow Yeprimian. They've all made really nice kicks and career kicks. But at some point, you know, there becomes a thing. And maybe this is the thing with Youngway Coos. And it's incumbent upon Terry and Raheem and Marquise Williams to get this right, because you don't want to be in this situation again. You don't want to be in a spot where you don't feel confident with that. And so Parker Romo is a guy who went down to the wire with the Patriots and has kicked for a lot of people And I'm not against this. I understand the business of the National Football League, and that's what this is. You know, do your job, and we'll see what happens. And, you know, Young Weku's been a terrific player here, but this is something they've got to fix it. And to have it happen in week one after an off season of, you know, I'm not going to say discontent, but certainly questions, right?
Right.
I think this is exactly the move I thought they would make this week.
Yeah, and we saw what the 49ers did moving on from Moody, their kicker. We saw a Jets player get cut for fumbling.
You talk about a guy made some big kicks now. Jake Moody kicked Michigan to the damn national championship.
Right.
That's true.
Right. But you must always be closing, or in this case, always be kicking and making it.
That's it. Nice job, Alec Baldwin. Well
results,
done.
Results-driven business as we segue to college ball with Wes Durham, of course, covering ACC. You see him doing all that stuff, too, and he knows his game. How about the Florida Gators, brother, and USF?
Gosh.
And can USF pull another miracle against Miami, please? But what do you think, though?
I'm going to give you this. If USF beats Miami, Alex Groves won't be coaching USF next year.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way this game works.
Right.
Look, they are, and you guys will like this tie because, you know, about a year ago we lost one of the rising young stars in basketball coaching who had been here at Kennesaw State, and Amir Abdur-Rahim, right?
Yep, right, yep, right.
And Amir passed away suddenly and was just such an impactful human, let alone really talented basketball coach with deep, deep ties to Atlanta and to Georgia and to Georgia Tech and certainly what he did to Kennesaw State and taking their first NCAA tournament. Well, Amir, when he got the South Florida job, and, you know, they went kind of worst to first in the American that year that he coached, and he said, you know, it's not the same old South Florida. Well, Alex has developed the same thing with their football program. Hey, this is not the same old South Florida. And they showed it on Saturday. I watched the SEC does this terrific thing on the SEC Network, the 60 in 60 thing, where they show you the game. You talk about a team that played with a ton of poise down the stretch now. They played with a ton of poise in Gainesville. And, look, it's tough. I mean, it's tough for Florida right now. But, you know, the schedule's only going to get harder, so you don't have a chance to sit around and talk about it and break it all down. But if you're Billy Napier, you got to get to work. And meanwhile, South Florida, you know, the fight just gets bigger now. You went for the one belt. You went for the TV title. Now you got to go get the man for the world championship belt. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handled the scene in Miami, because Miami played pretty well. Miami looked great against Notre Dame. They backed it up last week. They didn't get caught napping against Bethune. And so we'll see what happens. But USF's got the vibe. Are they going to take – I mean, they beat Boise State, who I thought was the G5 team for the playoff, and now USF looks like they're trying to make a run at it for sure.
Wes, we got to run. Devon Diablo is coming to the room. We're going to talk to him.
Now. I had my man at Virginia Tech when he was taking names, and he's already come to Atlanta and started taking names, so I am definitely out of here on that.
All right, man. Right. Appreciate you, Wes, the voice of our Falcons. Have a great call on Sunday night.
Take care, guys. Thanks.
All right.
670 The Score's Mullin Haugh is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haugh Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.